Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. I'm Carlotta Waldman, and I would like to welcome you to Crosswalk Talk Radio. This is a production of Crosswalk Life, and you can find us at crosswalklife.com and nowfaith.tv. We have many free articles on crosswalklife.com and almost 5 years worth of ministry training school and audios, videos, articles, and written prayers at nowfaith.tv. It's our pleasure to provide a place for you to hear what God's doing today, to learn more about hearing His voice, to learn more about growing up as a minister and how to deal with other ministers is what we're going to be talking about tonight. I hope you'll invite a friend to call in. That number is 917-388-4683. We'll be teaching and sharing about how ministers can get along better with each other the first almost an hour, I suspect, and then offer live, prophetic, personal ministry the second hour. So I hope you'll stay with us. You know, even when a prophetic word isn't directly for you, there's that anointing where you get so much out of it. Amen? We just want to unite together in our spiritual power and authority right now to cancel every assignment of the enemy against this program, against you, us, our pets, possession of property, everything and everybody we care about. We say all assignments against us are canceled, and we invite the Holy Spirit to flow here, to speak to us, to open our eyes and ears, and to open our hearts to be expanded in the way that God wants it to expand, that we can be those ministers of the gospel that would also be a blessing to other ministers. And if I were to ask you right now what minister was not so much of a blessing to you, I bet somebody's name would come to your mind. You know why I think that? Because our program just a few weeks ago on wounds from ministers, healing wounds from ministers, had more downloads than any other program we've had for weeks, and it was like twice as many. So I decided, yes, Lord, it might be good to have another program talking about relationships between ministers. Probably one of the number one questions that I hear from people, and even as I was a student, I heard the most, was why do they say it's going to take so long for me to be released in ministry? Well, you know, that depends what it is. God's called us all to make disciples. You don't have to be a sent one, so to speak, to evangelize, to serve, to show mercy, to administrate. Depends on what you're called to. If you're called to be an apostle, a prophet, a king, like David took years, Joseph took years, become prime minister, then it's going to take longer. Bigger the foundation, the more work it takes. Amen? But tonight, I was just thinking about some of the points that Apostle Tom Hammond had made about ministers getting along with each other, understanding each other, and actually becoming the dynamic duos, trios, whatever that they're supposed to be in team ministry. And I thought, you know, this would make a great program. So I want to tell you right now, get out your pen and paper if you're a note taker, because I'm going to share 50 points that I believe will really save you a lot of grief if you'll take note of these, whether you've been in ministry for 20 years already or whether you're just beginning, whether you're hoping to be released or you're releasing others. These points will be a great reminder for you as well. One of the things I really want to emphasize tonight is hearing God's voice, because I'm going to be sharing many of these from the prophetic point of view. Hearing God's voice can either be the greatest asset, or you can do loads and loads of damage. You know, it's like a knife that can do awesome surgery, or you can really hurt people with it. And it's a good thing when leaders, fivefold ministers, trainers, whoever, are careful with who they release to minister and when. The Bible says, you know, don't let a novice loose on the congregation right away. But why does the Bible talk about training you've got a gift, why does it talk about training? In 1 Samuel 19:20, people were diligently mentored and trained by the prophet Samuel, and Elijah was training people in the school of prophets in 2 Kings 2. What is this about? Well, I'm going to talk about those points tonight because there's a whole lot more to being a minister than being biblical or giving an accurate word or having the right theology. In fact, some people are so heavy on doctrine and theology that it obscures God's heart in it. You know, we've experienced that too. So how do we get to the point of balance? Well, having a mentor is an excellent idea. That's why we offer mentoring, whether they're in person, over the phone, Uvu, even email, whatever. Some mentor brought to you by God is way better than you being a lone ranger. So my second point would be, why do we need to have this training in the church? We've already got sermons, we've got teaching. Well, many pastors today swing one way or the other. They either block prophetic ministry for many reasons, we won't go through all those tonight, or they let it loose without protocol, without training, without mentoring. And so neither extreme is good. We've seen damage come from both extremes. But one thing we know, you'll have a weak church if you don't follow God's plan. And God's plan was that the church would have a fivefold foundation of apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And so one reason that churches in the West are so far behind the spiritual curve, while churches in other continents are experiencing all kinds of progress, growth, miracles, signs, and wonders, is because some churches in the West have ignored God's admonition to have a fivefold foundation. And then tonight we're going to talk about churches that do have a fivefold foundation, but they don't get along. So what's up with that? Another thing is that there needs to be a definite order in the church. Now, of course, immediately comes to mind the verse that says, let all things be done decently in order. And you say, yeah, in our church, they did everything so decently in order, they wouldn't let all things be done. So again, what we need is balance. There needs to be protocol. When you have spontaneous words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophetic words, words in tongues, being given in a service, and other offerings from the membership that are unplanned, spontaneous, led by the Holy Spirit, there still needs to be a protocol. The Holy Spirit can design the protocol, amen. It doesn't mean that you're quenching the Holy Spirit. Some churches that have a lot of prophetic activity are very welcoming to it, still request that you go up and whisper to someone that's designated what that word is before you give it. Other churches have a designated time in the service, and you can give that word. Other churches, you're supposed to be released to do public ministry before you give that word. Others, you need to write it down and give it to the pastors or someone designated ahead of time. Whatever that is, I don't care who you are and how long you've been a prophet or in ministry or licensed or ordained, you need to honor the protocol of that church. It's just a matter of knowing God's chain of authority and knowing that's how God works and working through that and being able to trust each other, to honor each other, and to respect how things are done in that church, because many pastors are right in having the protocol that they have. It may seem limiting to you and what you're used to, but they may have very good reasons that they don't just let anyone prophesy. Now, my case, just quickly, I have been in wonderful prophetic churches where still they were targeted by the enemy, and someone came in and gave a word that sounded totally biblical, but it was sheer divination and would not yield the floor voluntarily back to the leadership. I've been in a service where during the worship time, a person almost stripped naked in about 4 seconds, and thank God the elders were right on his elbows to escort him out before he completed it. I've been in churches where witches were there on purpose with their full-time jobs to curse the services or the conference. And so we needn't be ignorant, the Bible says, don't be ignorant of the wiles of the devil. Know that wherever the Holy Spirit is flowing, the devil is going to try to bring a counterfeit or wreck it somehow. What we want to do is have enough order so that the Holy Spirit can flow freely, but not so much so that he's quenched, amen? And the Bible means the directions that are given is so that the pastor and prophetic ministries, or whoever the leadership is, that they can have wonderful experiences working together in team and as a dynamic duo. This is God's plan for us to strengthen each other. And so that would be number six. And then number seven, we are supposed to appreciate and honor and value the diversity. Corinthians is very clear in 12 and 14 about honoring the diversity and being glad. It's kind of like opposites attract when you first start dating, and then when you're married, you may start to forget why your opposite strengths were so wonderful. We need to continue valuing each other and honoring each other. You know, it's so wonderful to be in a church where there's a culture of honor, where each person's calling and gifting is honored, and there's not a competition, there's not a me, but there's an atmosphere of appreciation, amen? Number nine would be that we need to understand each other and take time to, not only our personality styles and things like that, but instead of ignoring what we don't understand or abusing what we don't understand, we need to become responsible to understand how the Holy Spirit works. There needs to be teaching and training in the church. And if you can't find it there, then you can do that on your own, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to our training. It's full of understanding about different giftings, or something else online if you don't have anything locally. But don't just ignore or abuse what the Holy Spirit is doing. We need to understand how the Holy Spirit works. And one example of that would be like in Ephesians 1:17, where the Apostle Paul prays this wonderful prayer that we would understand our true calling and inheritance, authority, and power. But he prays that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, this is a good example of the balance that should be operating between a pastor and the prophetic people. Prophetic people are often a little proud of the revelation, the discernment that they have. And it is true, I know in my case, I have discerned the culprit in the church like 10 years before I felt like some of the leadership had a clear understanding of just how bad it was. You know, that maybe they saw that it was a challenge, but not that it was, you know, like life and death. And sure enough, I turned out to be right. But I've been wrong plenty of times, too. And we all need to be under leadership, under accountability. We need to respect God's chain of authority, and especially the wisdom and the mercy that pastors operate in. They might or might not have the revelation that we've got in the situation, but, you know, a Jezebel spirit is what comes in and undermines the pastor and says, too bad he doesn't know everything we know. That's Jezebel spirit operating there, of division and undermining leadership. We need to be extremely supportive of the other members around us. We can pray for them, pray loosing and binding prayers if necessary. But we need to receive the wisdom and realize, I've always said, there isn't anybody that I can't learn something from. And so it's just humility on our part to know that we only know in part. And prophetic people often come off like we've got all the revelation or all the discernment, and really we need to be good team members. But because of our gift of revelation, we might see things as extremely black and white. And in some cases it might be black and white, but many cases a pastor in his mercy and wisdom is going to offer a tempering effect. And we can know that there is a timing to saying things. There is a chain of authority to submit it to. The pastor may have a more a better understanding of restoring that person. But the prophetic person may judge the pastor for compromising. They may see it as compromise, or that they're too patient. They give them too long a time of repentance. Although we were always glad when we had a long space of time for repentance, right? But the pastor may see the prophet as unwise and unyielding, that they won't be led. They won't wait on the good timing that the pastor sees as important, because he's not interested in slaying the sheep. You know, he's interested in leading them, not driving them. So number 12 is people may see us as judgmental when they don't have the same discernment, or if we deliver the discernment that we have out of timing to the wrong people. They can turn into sheer gossip if you're sharing it horizontally to people that aren't part of the solution. And I believe that it's very, very important for the leadership where we're visiting, where we've been invited, or in our home church, to know that we are yielded and submitted. That they can know that we are on their side. We're part of a team. We don't see ourselves as the end-all, and especially if you're fairly new. And by new, in training for a five-fold minister, we don't mean new like a few months, even a couple of years. You know, Elisha was under Elijah's training for quite a few years, and it's not uncommon for it to be over 10 years before a five-fold minister or a prophet or a strong prophetic leader to be ready to lead, to be released to function on their own, so to speak, still under authority, but not directly under a mentor at all times. Because a prophetic person has this tendency to see things way ahead of time, but want to address it right then. It's one of the hardest things for prophetic people to learn God's timing. And I know it personally got me in a lot of trouble, too, because I would see what God wants to do in my own life, and I'd be expecting it to happen that year. And so why God shows this thing so far ahead, sometimes I wonder. But it's very important to ask God about the timing. Also, it's how we present it. Prophetic people can often discern things ahead of time. They should be using that discernment to see what is not in line with the vision of the house or the ministry, for instance. But what leaders know is sometimes it's the prophetic person that gets out of line with the vision of the house or the ministry, because they're seeing something and that they don't submit it to the team, so they don't get the whole picture or the importance of the timing or the especially the way to present it. And here's three words that I think are very important when you're really setting out to build strong relationships with other ministers and with other members in the church and to be part of a team. Is when you do prophesy, when you're released to prophesy, think of it this way. Don't just prophesy the problem, prophesy the result. And I think this, if you don't hear anything else tonight, this will help you. If you're a prophetic person, prophesy to the results. And what I mean is anyone can point out what the problem is, that your tongue is out of control. Anyone can see that. And you could prophesy that, but that is not the way God does it. He doesn't just attack people, take their mask off, tear them down. He uses a sandwich method, you know, where you put one correction in the midst of several, like in Revelation 2 and 3 and 4. I have seen your good points of this, this, and this, and this. Just one thing I have against you, or I want to mention. Also, number 2 under 14 is to prophesy to restoration. How God wants to restore that person, how he wants to build them, how he wants to edify them, encourage them. And also to prophesy in line with the vision of the house whenever possible, because the Holy Spirit isn't up to, he's not there to cause division and to tear down and to separate. He is there to bring people together and to align them in their strengths, even in their diversity, with the vision that he has given. And so prophetic people can have a really strong point of constantly shoring up the vision and making the vision clear and inspiring people with the vision. But make sure that what you're prophesying also is, even to individuals, is in line with the vision of the house. So here's the challenge. Is your ministry prophetic, whatever level you're on, whether you're always submitting prophetic words in writing to someone else, whether you're allowed to give them, whether you minister one-to-one or give words in a congregation freely and you've been given that freedom, whether you have a measure of rule in the lives of leaders, are you known for ministering that word in the context of wisdom? So are you learning to ask God about the timing of it and not just hear the word itself, the manner in which it's to be delivered, the place, because there's a time and a place, public, private, one-on-one. Are you really hearing God's wording on it and not letting your own flesh or motivation or soulish language get in there? Is the intent of your heart to just say what the Father says to say? And is the attitude of your heart the very heart of God when you're ministering it? I realize that's a lot, but that's why we say it takes years and years to be seasoned. Because number 16, all those things that I just listed, are very, very important. You can say something exactly right with the right motivation, the right wording and everything, but if your timing is off, it will not have the effect. So you need to be patient. Many things need to be based in prayer, for instance. Another thing is, Paul said in the Bible that some people minister out of competition or jealousy and not out of blessing. And I have experienced this, I imagine you have too, where you feel very strongly that this word came from jealousy or competition or a Jezebel spirit that actually just can't wait to cut me down a notch or two. This is not restoring. This is not edifying, consoling, or building up. So we need to be alert to that. And we don't want to judge other people's motivations, but yet the Bible says to judge the word that's given. And are they truly operating in the Spirit of Christ and his desire? Or do they have this desire that can't wait to be heard because they've got to be vindicated or proved that they can minister an accurate word? And rather than being a blessing, they're actually just, you know, wanting the microphone, wanting me, you know, wanting to prove something. And that just really, really doesn't work. You can tell when somebody just loves the mic. They just really have to give a word every time or can't. Well, I'll say it this way. People that are seasoned, that have, you know, just a pure motivation to say what the Lord once said, don't have to be up front all the time. They're happy to let a newer person with less experience give the same word. They don't have to say, oh, I got that too, or anything. They're happy to reproduce others and give them opportunity. Amen. I've seen too many examples to even name, but I appreciate even generals in the faith. One I remember particularly was praying for me when I should have gone up for an altar call, but I didn't. And they could have tapped me on the shoulder and given me a word. They're very prophetic. But they didn't do anything like that. They were already sitting behind me in the service, but I could feel it. I could feel it without even turning around. I could feel that they were praying for me, like, during this whole long 40-minute altar call. And finally, when it was all over, I turned around. Sure enough, there they sat. And I said, I didn't hear a word of that prayer. And they said, you didn't need to. See, and that's the humility, the authority, and the strength that a seasoned person works in. I have prayed for people to have divine encounters, real vision of Jesus, interactive visions of Jesus, and they have had. It's lasted. They reported it and gave a testimony about it later. Never had the need to tell them I'm the one that prayed it through. Of course, God might have had somebody else praying too. But they also kept having visions like once a week. And once they found out, you know, somebody told them that I do that, pray for people, they started coming up to me every week saying, oh, I had another vision. Well, if we're doing it to be noticed, it's just all wrong. It's just all wrong. God is wanting to work in our hearts so that we glorify Him and honor Him. Amen. Because we're to come with whatever ministry we have in humility and meekness and not pride. And so 18, or it could have been number one, would be humility and meekness, that we're there to strengthen the hands of the membership, of the leaders, and to support them, not to highlight ourselves. And if we come in that humility and meekness, then we find that the very foundation of strife in the church is torn down. Strife happens when we're proud, you know, we're arguing for our own way, trying to do something from our flesh. And the more of us that can minister in humility and weakness, even if it's silently, like the example I just gave, the more strife and division won't have a chance. Amen? So we have to guard ourselves against the spirit of pride. And many times you can be accused of trying to usurp authority. That would be around 19 or 20 now. Usurping authority when you didn't really intend to, but because you minister in pride, it comes across as me, me, me. And that feels competitive with other people. And, you know, pride is the root of all sin. So we have to really watch out for that. A prophetic person also needs to ask God if whatever they're offering, whether it's verbally or whatever, God may have told you to go and serve someone else. And frankly, let me just say right here, when I'm looking at someone who wants to be mentored or be an intern, and I'm looking for a lot more qualities than their prophetic or counseling ability, I'm looking at, are they serving, and are they willing to do a variety of things to serve? And, you know, the disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 24 and 25, they said, well, tribulation's going to be like this and everything, what shall we then do? And Jesus said, you know, go and feed the hungry and visit those in prison and clothe the poor and things like that. And I'll tell you, I'll just give you a little tip that I almost never hear leaders say out loud. But what they're looking for when they're thinking about whether to choose you for a team or to promote you or to include you for ministry, what they're looking for is, are you serving others? And I don't mean, are you serving the leadership? Is it okay if I say kissing up to the leadership? They're looking to see if you serve people that need it, real needs in the body, in the community, non-Christians. They're looking to see if you really have a heart of compassion for other people. Do you do things free? Do you have a heart to even preach the gospel? Do you share Christ? And do you serve in practical ways, not just serve the leadership so that you'll be noticed and promoted? So there's another tip. Are you willing to do most of your ministry in private? I think we're on 22 or something now. Especially if it is to leadership, I would say just as much to a person who's fragile or just growing or needs healing or whatever. Are you willing to minister in private and not have any recognition? Are you willing for it to be totally confidential? Or are you willing, if it is a corrective word for someone, to submit it to the leadership first? See, these kind of things are what really disturbs relationships is, if you do feel like you have a word of correction, do you present it in humility in private? Do you go through their chain of authority, if that's better? Do you go straight to them first, if that's appropriate? Or is your motivation restorative? Are you prophesying to the result? Or does that person feel torn down when you leave? I would say that a person that's seasoned, that really knows how to prophesy, can give a corrective word, you don't even know you've been corrected till for hours later. Maybe the next day you'll think, oh, when they said God's going to give me this silver tongue, you know, that's totally only speaks what the Father says to say, that was actually correction, because what God's saying is I'm not doing it that way now, okay? But if you feel the need, just can't wait to correct someone else, usually there's a problem. Because what if God treated us that way? Usually God takes two forevers to correct us. I mean, he just gives us so much time to voluntarily repent. Also, do you have a measure of rule in that person's life? 23. Do you have a measure of rule? Have they already given you permission to speak into their life? You can ask. You can say, you know, I think I heard something from the Lord for you, and it might mean a correction to your course. Do you want to hear it? Or have you already earned, better yet, a measure of rule in that person's life because you have built relationship and there's mutual respect and honor for each other? Or have you earned it because of the training that you've had and the you have been released to do these things in your family or body or business or wherever you are? What we don't want is too many Lone Rangers or any Lone Rangers who have independently sent themselves or acting as sheriffs. They think that they can go up to just anyone and offer a word because it's from the Lord. But the Bible says to entreat one another, to go with humility to restore, knowing that except for the grace of God, there go you. And I would say it's always better to err on the side of humility and to say too little than to say too much. And I often know, I discern a situation, but I would say 90% of the time, I don't say anything to that person. I want you to get this. I don't say anything to other people about that person or to that person. I believe the Bible said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. You can pray loosing and binding prayers. You can achieve a whole lot without confronting that person directly. And if that works, all the better, because they've heard from the Holy Spirit for themselves. They've been able to work that out with the Holy Spirit. And it's better. It's actually better that way. Amen? So we're called in Ephesians 4:11 to build up and equip the saints. Build up and equip the saints. And part of the problems with between ministers is one minister hears God about something, but they don't come across as building up. They don't come across as I'm on your side, don't want you to be the last one to know kind of thing. And people feel torn down. They were not called to be independent operators. We're to submit to godly authority as much or more than anyone else. Just because you might be a fivefold minister doesn't mean that you don't need a pastor, that you don't need to be under the chain of authority. Actually, you need it more. And that's why we see the apostles roving, I call it, from church to church. The pastor himself was accountable to someone or the elder or whatever they had. And then there were people over them. And so I call a person apostle if they've not only planted a church, but leaders of churches look to them for leadership. Another issue that we have in the church is that people are announcing things prophetically, but way, way premature. So it may not be corrective. It may not actually hurt anybody, but it's out of God's timing. Now, God will show us things way ahead of time so that we can adjust our budget or make decisions that will be in line with that when it comes, but maybe it's not going to happen for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So then again, if you're a prophetic person, you're responsible not to release a word till the right timing. It can cause a lot of frustration because people that object to your word, they may be actually correct. It was given out of timing. And then you get frustrated because you know you heard God, but you didn't think to ask for the timing. Another area, 26, would be that many times prophetic people start feeling very persecuted and get a rejection complex in relationships. And it really started off possibly with them not being patient with the process that they're asked to go through in training, or with the words that they're released to give, or not being patient and understanding the other ministers. And they become all disgruntled and frustrated and think that they're being persecuted, when actually it may be that you just need more mentoring. You need to have spiritual advisors that you bounce this off of and say, do you sense this is God? And if so, in what context and what parts of it can be presented at this time? Or, as I said, once again, 90% of what I discern or hear, I don't say anything out loud. And that's obedience. I don't say anything out loud. I wait and only say out loud what the Father says to say. Because many people are feeling really misunderstood in the church. They're thinking they're never going to be released to do anything. And they feel like their gifts aren't valued and they're not given opportunities that they should have. This is what I hear the most. And there's just no place for them. So they want to change churches. They think it's that the leadership doesn't appreciate hearing God's voice in general. While that could be true, it doesn't give us license to work in a subversive way, to talk against the leadership, to undermine them, to talk about how they're not loving and all of that. We need to ask God, are we planted here? Is this where we're supposed to be? If so, this is the greenhouse for our growth, and God will release us in his timing. And also think of this, he may have mentors in other places from other sources, or there's many different ways to be mentored. I mean, I watch videos sometimes and feel mentored. But, of course, we need a mentor that we can be accountable to, who can give us feedback, not just someone that's famous and gone. Another area that we can really cause a lot of problems between ministers is just by complaining. Complaining that they don't discern something or recognize something, or complaining about their protocol and, that we're not being released. And here's an example of this. Somebody that I just dearly love is Diane Palmer. She's one of the most unique prophetic gifts, in that she sings everything, and it's just first class. Different little tunes, and I've even seen her allow someone to play along with her who did not know her, who was just as gifted, apparently, musically, and they actually were able to play each little tune along with her. If that wasn't the Holy Spirit, I didn't know what was. And these weren't lullabies that she was singing. But she told a story of being invited to a church, thinking that the people that invited her knew how she ministered. So when she was getting up on the platform and they said she'd only have 10 minutes, she was like, what? Because once Diane Palmer starts singing to every single person in the church, it is so unbelievably God. You don't want her to ever quit. You want her to keep on going all afternoon. Well, they told her she had 10 minutes. Well, agreeing with these principles that we're teaching tonight about being in line with the vision of the house, the protocol, submitted to leadership, she looked at her watch. She got up. She started singing prophetically to people. On the dot of 10 minutes, she sat down. And I'm sure that the pastor there was thinking, what have I done? Because he had already asked someone else to speak the main message. But here you go, another sermon, as usual. And they could have had Diane Palmer
for until she was done. I mean, she doesn't quit just because it's noon or something. And so her submission to him was the best testimony. It was the best testimony because she did exactly what he said. She didn't grumble and complain, don't you know who I am, and why'd you have me come all this way, you know, just to sing for 10 minutes. But he might have thought it was like a typical solo and 10 minutes was generous. Maybe, you know, maybe more communication could have been needed, you know, maybe after that she made sure of the time slot. But apparently this guy had really not heard of her and what she does. The point is, that doesn't give us an excuse to get our nose out of joint, does it? In fact, right now would be a good time to suggest that we're just over halfway through our points here, have you thought of someone tonight that you need to forgive or to ask forgiveness of? Maybe you are the one that didn't recognize their gifting, didn't give them an opportunity, didn't mentor them, you know, to quench the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, despise not prophesying, touch not mine anointed, you know, to receive the prophets. Maybe you are the one that held back what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. But if you were the one that was held back, then do you need to forgive someone? Because just because they were wrong doesn't make it right for you to hold offense, right, or resentment or unforgiveness. And so don't want to let the bait of Satan hold you back forever. Tonight's a good reminder for many of you. So why do so many pastors ignore or totally subdue the prophetic ministry? Part of it might be because they don't know that the prophetic movement started in the 80s. And in the West anyway, it's already going on in other places. And they don't understand the prophetic movement. They don't understand that God is restoring all things, like in Acts 3:21, before Christ returns. They don't understand the need for the fivefold ministry in order to have a good foundation in the church. And they don't understand what it means to touch not mine anointed in Psalm 105:15, do my prophets no harm. But even if they do understand, do you need to release them and to forgive them? And to receive them and what they do have to offer in ministry also. So a lot of it can be ignorance. I know that some people are so isolated within their community or denomination that they really don't know that most of the churches in the world today are charismatic and spirit-filled. They really don't know because maybe their area is not. But check the statistics, you'll find out that I'm right. Many hold back prophetic people because they have seen the hurt and abuse that has happened in some churches. They've seen people come in and use their prophetic gift to slice and dice people, to expose things prematurely, to give direction that was out of timing, to compete. And they just wanted to be noticed or have the most specific word or whatever. But God himself was very displeased by the way that they ministered the gift. And I just have to caution you, be very, very careful that you don't use the prophetic gift to get even with someone, to put someone down, to have one-upmanship, all that. Be very careful. God will discipline you. He will chastise you as his son and daughter. And also, God is very displeased, though, when leaders and people reject God's prophetic leadership, like when they rejected Samuel's prophetic leadership. God said to Samuel, they have not rejected you, they rejected me. That's in 1 Samuel 8:7-8. Be careful. Be careful. Now, some people just don't want the prophetic let loose in their church because they're uncomfortable with it. That would be 38. And there's a lot we can do to minister to people that are just uncomfortable. We can be love to them. We can make friends. We can serve them. We can build a relationship, which should be done anyway. and help them, if they're just stuck in a rut, to know that there's a whole world out there of spirit-filled life. And, you know, just brag on God and how wonderful it is to be in a church where the Holy Spirit is not quenched and all the gifts flow and the foundation is complete and there's the strength of honoring one another and the strength of appreciating each other's gifts and callings. It's awesome. Some pastors or leaders of other kinds are just too overprotective. They've seen what can go wrong. They've seen people hurt by prophetic words that were off, fleshly, never came true. It just wasn't God. And they're overprotective, and they want to obey God, but they're really skittish about the prophetic area. Others just feel like, number 40, that prophecies just really mess up the plans. They mess up the church plans. They mess up the bulletins that were made way in advance. They mess up by directing, you know, changing the mission of the church in a different direction, adding new things. That they just see it as causing a big mess, and maybe it did. God will wreck us sometimes, wreck our plans. But also, the prophetic gift can really bring a powerful spirit of breakthrough, can cause whole assignments of the enemy to be exposed, to be broken, and so the church is not under the oppression of these spirits anymore. Say there's a spirit of competition in the church, and it exposed properly, the power of it's broken, and then people can work together in team and love and appreciate each other after that. That would be great. We just need more understanding of each other, a lot more understanding of what the mature ministry should be, whatever it is. We need to understand what motivates evangelists and how we can work together with them and learn from them, as well as pastors, teachers, apostles. We need to understand all the servers and helpers and mercy people and admin people and the missionaries and everything, and appreciate each other. We need to understand the various functions. I'd say that is 42. Study up. If you can't imagine what motivates this person and why they do what they do, look it up in the Word, look it up somewhere else, ask, learn. Don't be ignorant of why God has so many spiritual gifts and functions in the church and why they're all important. He says for us to honor all, whether we consider them greater or lesser. There's a great need for us, if we're going to mature as ministers ourselves, to be attuned to what God is doing in the church and how he works through individuals. And we need to be attuned to them and to know it's not about us, first of all, not to be afraid, and that understanding will increase cooperation and the flow of the Spirit in the church. And then, let's see, 44. Sometimes we don't get along with each other because we're just intimidated. We're intimidated by their strength or their anointing that we don't have. We're afraid of being upstaged or considered less than. But we need to be happy because the point is to glorify God and to build others up. And we're all needful, amen? We need to develop wisdom and working together and ministering because they'll know us by our love, hallelujah. Sometimes there's a spirit of jealousy that keeps us from working together. That would be 45. So pastors, prophets, apostles, teachers, evangelists, all of us need to stretch in order to believe, to minister by supernatural revelation. But some people are just going to be better at it than others. At times. Now, other times that may change. I've seen situations where people appeared to be extremely accurate, but actually they were researching things ahead of time. Then they came to a service and appeared to give an accurate word of knowledge. And then, you know, maybe that was spawned by jealousy on their part. You have to be very careful about being jealous of how accurate or specific someone else can be, because that can lead to divination in you when you want too badly to give the discerning or prophetic word, when you want too badly to hear God, you can actually get into divination because you really want it for your own glory. Many people are threatened, number 46, by the strength of others. They're threatened because of position or salary or because they're insecure, 47. They're threatened by prophetic ministry because there's a certain charisma, a certain wow, I guess, that comes when somebody can just read everyone's mail. But I'm telling you, I have that ability. I can go to a church. I can prophesy to every person there. But in a way, I admire the other gifts more. The Bible does say prophecy is a great gift. But all I do is hear dictation and say it. You know, that's not hard work. And so the servers always say have to work hard. But we need to get over being threatened by the spiritual gifts and offices and calls of other people and be glad and be kingdom-minded and be also, frankly, I didn't put this one down, but let me say it right here with insecurity. These are religious spirits that are speaking up that are causing us to compare. Compare that I'm more emotional or you're less, or I'm more, I worship better than you do and you don't. All these comparisons where you should be more demonstrative or less, or you should minister with gifts or not. All of this that's just comparison is from religious spirits. And their goal is to replace the Holy Spirit, not to allow the Holy Spirit to flow in freedom. After all, it's His church. So 48, let's teach respect. Whatever position you do or don't have in the church, whatever part of the family and the membership and the body of Christ you are, learn, first of all, to respect. There's really very few instances in most churches where someone has caused serious harm by their prophetic ministry or whatever ministry. Usually things can be repaired. We learn from our mistakes, and we learn to mature. A person with a religious spirit, though, will come down too hard on the carnality or immaturity or fleshly decision of another person. Rather than mentoring them and restoring them, lest your foot fall in the same trap, you know, they're coming down too hard because they've got to appear better than. So, on the other hand, we need to stay within the protocol of the church, knowing that they've been set in place. If there's restrictions, like we had one that said no restroom revelations, no parking lot prophecies, no hallway hallucinations. And that was our way of saying, if you've got something to say, say it at the appropriate time in the services, or say it to the leadership if that's appropriate for the level that you're on. But don't just sneak out and say it after church when you're not accountable to anyone for it. And then, you know, one day, as you're accountable to leadership and you've proven that you minister the heart of God as well as in the power and accuracy of God's word, one day, then you'll be released to minister on your own. But at this point, know that it takes years. And you might as well accept that fact because prophetic people are not just born overnight. We want to be, but we're not. We need to have positive relationships with other members and with leaders. And we need to know that it's all about relationship, that our words are supposed to edify and console and encourage. And if they don't, and we're not building up relationships, you know, they'll know us by our lack of love, and we're going to have to start over. This is why we have training seminars. We're going to be having some training weekends this year and ministry weekends where you can come for a couple of days to Florida here, and you can get enough training in just 48 hours, where you go home on a whole new confidence level, a whole new understanding of your function, how to hear God's voice, how to minister healing or deliverance or restoration. And we need to work together in teams once again I'm all about teams. God created teams. God is a team, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All about teams. But here's the biggest key I want you to hear right here at the end. I put it toward the end so that you'll remember it. People know if you have an unwavering loyalty to the team. Whether you're a Marine, whether you're in a sport, whether you're in a ministry team, people know if you are loyal to each other or if you're all about you. Whether you have a faithfulness to God that overrides all temptations, whether you're loyal to the team, and whether people can relax and receive from you and know that you're a safe person to be around. And if your pastor has not released you to do much, and you're still sitting on the bench, being disgruntled and pouting about it, complaining about him, and gossiping to other people is not going to ever get you off the bench. You need to relax and to know that God is still honing and training, and you're in the process. It's going to be a good thing because God doesn't want you to get up on the platform and fail in public. He wants to conform you to his image and to build that character in you that goes with the fruit of the Spirit and your gifting and calling. Amen? Father knows this, really does. So when you submit yourself and your revelation to your pastor or the leader, however your structure is, and allow him to mix his wisdom or her wisdom and decide, because they're the authority figure, when and how you're to minister, you can avoid a world of trouble. Instead of going into criticism and judgmental spirit and all of that, know that one day you will be the leader, probably, and you're going to reap people like you. So you need to be submitted. Don't disconnect. Don't isolate yourself from the leadership. But know that if you are open and you build relationships, you can have that wonderful mentoring relationship, at least to some degree. Hopefully you're in a place where they'll be willing to be a good father or mother in the Lord to you. And you won't have to be the know-it-all. You can learn to enjoy being mentored and to have someone that believes in you, is willing to build you up, is willing to give you opportunities with supervision, is willing to help you to have the breakthroughs that you need. Amen? Help you to have the healing and restoration that you need, to see blind spots. And you can find out how those words are delivered. You may be anxious to show someone else their blind spots. But, you know, when you feel that anxiousness to do it often, it's not God. It's not God when you just can't wait to do it. And you'll find out when you submit to mentoring what it's like when someone wants to offer you words of correction and how it's to be done and not to be done. But that's really what we need in the church, is to be there for each other, to be kind of like one for all and all for one, but definitely all for Jesus, and to let these relationships mold and make us. Because God lets you have challenges in your relationships for a reason, amen? God uses those challenges to mold and make the minister. And believe me, he is going to mold and make your ministry, but also your methods, your manners, your marriage, the way you handle money, all kinds of things before he releases you to minister very much without supervision. You can do it on your own without God's permission, and then he'll have to chastise that. Because he really wants people to understand the chain of authority, that he created it, even though sometimes it's very inconvenient to you. But before he gives you lots of spiritual authority, he's going to be giving you many tests to see if you will submit to authority. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I hope you were able to catch all of that, at least the parts that pertain to you. And I hope that you will share this broadcast with others, because while there are many books and resources that have a few of these points, I felt like Apostle Tom Hammond just really, boy, the more I read, the more of what I thought of, just is helping us to think of why God has us in training, why relationships are so important, and why we need to really be submitted to teamwork and in relationship and under authority in order to avoid any snare the devil's setting up for our feet, and to be able to glorify God to the max. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I thought I would just ask people tonight if anyone had a little testimony they wanted to share on the subject of relating to other ministers, and maybe it would be a victory of a breakthrough in that area, or it would maybe you have a prayer request that you need healing in the area of relating to other ministers. And if you have something to share, I'd like you to push number one right now and unmute yourself. And that puts up a little hand so that I will know who has something to share. Oh, come on. Courage, arise. Courage, arise. Who has something? Because I know everybody here has probably had some situation where God showed them, revealed something, had to heal something, some insight. Nobody, huh? Okay, then, I'm going to change the call here and say if you'll call in 917-388-4683, 917-388-4683, I'm going to offer prophetic ministry and hopefully demonstrate what I've said tonight. We'll be prophesying to the results, not just the problem, prophesying restoration or release or freedom or healing. Or whatever God has. Amen. Let's see. I have one caller. You can go ahead and call in. Those of you that have called before, if you'll wait a few minutes, let the new ones go first. Okay, area code 414. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Prophet Carlotta. It's Char. How are you doing?
Hi. Did you say Char?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
How are you doing?
And you?
I'm doing good, thanks. This is a great subject because I know when I was trained, I was trained under a lady who also was trained under Christian International, and I feel really blessed because she taught really awesome protocol. And so when I went, I was going to the Assembly of God, and he asked me, the pastor had asked me, you know, what did I feel I was called to, and I said the prophetic. He looked at me like, ugh. And so he really grew where he knew I wasn't flaky, and so he trusted me, and he let me teach the School of the Prophets there, and we would invite him and ask him to come and you know, tell us what kind of protocol would he like us to do. And so we were supposed to, you know, bring the words up to him. And so that was really neat because he was actually pretty open because he'd always tell me he's the pastor and he has to watch his flock.
Right.
So it was pretty cool that he allowed that. And so I thought that was awesome. But I do have to say thumbs up to the protocol that I was taught too. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. You know, some people that haven't heard a lot of prophetic words that were done by new ones and maybe not so new but not so submitted people haven't heard the damage that it can do. And I hate to stress that part because I'm all about, you know, yay, God's restoring the prophetic movement and all. But I've heard people prophesy, for instance, to one person that was just the most exemplary Christian man, just as loving and humble and helpful as he could be and everything, and there happened to be a person standing by him that was basically nuts, and I know that firsthand. and the person that was supposed to be prophesying got it all backwards and was exhorting the person that's a mature Christian person to be like the other person. I'm going, oh boy, if you ever got something backwards, that was it.
Wow.
But when you're the pastor or the leader of that ministry, then you have to go and try to clean all that up. Because everybody there is confused.
I know there was a girl who she didn't want anything to do with it, and she told me that she was at a church that was very prophetic, and they prophesied that she was supposed to marry this certain person.
Mm.
Well, she knew he wasn't the person for her, and so she was very, very, very damaged by that. And I know part of the protocol that Christian
mm-hmm.
International teaches is you don't prophesy babies, geographical moves, and marriages when you're just starting out. And I just think that's such a good thing because, man, could that damage people. Wow.
Well, I still don't. I almost never do. We're talking 20 years into it now.
Wow, that's awesome.
Still don't. Another one is office call. I'll tell a person that you have an apostolic anointing. But I believe it's kind of like in college where if you don't have a doctorate, you don't teach doctoral students.
Amen.
You know, you teach a level that you've already accomplished yourself. And so even though I'm a fivefold minister, I very seldom will prophesy that you're called to be a prophet. Now, I might, whatever God wants, but I find that often he eases a person into that stuff. He doesn't just, you know, because if you're going to be an apostle, you kind of know it long beforehand, and it's, you know, getting a prophecy that you're going to be an apostle isn't going to make you one. Now, somebody's probably going to pick at how I said that, but there's a lot of preparation time that goes into it.
A lot of crushing.
Pardon?
Well, I said a lot of crushing in all this, in all the fivefold stuff. Because
well,
I love what you said.
There is. And also, for instance, in case someone's totally confused by me saying that, when David was called to be king, he was a little boy. So that's what I mean by getting the prophecy and the anointing to be king didn't make him king that day. Yeah.
Wasn't it like 15 years before he ever became the king?
Well, I think he was on the run that long, but don't quote me, I'm not sure exactly. But I highly recommend the book Tale of Three Kings by Jean Edwards about all that process. And if you're one that's just really so frustrated with being in process and not being released fully yet, read that book. It is so helpful.
That's awesome. Well, thanks. I just wanted to share that with you because I just felt blessed being taught. You know, Dr. Hammond's stuff is so awesome and so practical and so thorough. So thanks so much.
Well, thank you. And did you need prayer for anything?
Oh, I will definitely take prayer. Absolutely. I'll just let you rock.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just thank you for Char. I just thank you for the encouragement that she is and has been. I thank you for the process that she submitted to and for the example she set for that pastor of asking for protocol and willingly submitting and you know, not being presumptuous. And I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And I just thank you for the work that you're doing in Char's family. I'm not personally familiar with that, but I just thank you for it. I thank you that the seeds that she has sowed, even into others' lives, are coming back in multiplied multiples, you know, back to her, that there is, even what she's sown in the natural, is coming back to her. And sometimes the reaping of it is in spiritual ways, and sometimes what she's sown spiritually, the reaping of it will be in natural ways. And, Char, I'm just reminded of how your children are benefiting as the blessings go down thousands of generations. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness. We just thank you for your faithfulness and that she is called to be a mother of many and that many will rise up and call her blessed as their spiritual mother as well. And we just thank you for the privilege of partnering with you, Lord. And thank you for the process. We just thank you for the process that you take us through, that you don't allow us to just go out and hurt people. And, you know, in our saner moments, we thank you for holding us back to our ready. And we just appreciate, Lord, that you have our best interest at heart and everybody that we minister to. Such a privilege. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for saying that. And I want, can I just give a plug, because I really mean this, is that since I've been coming, I've been going to the school, now Faith, your online school, and it just really changes you from the inside out. And I just, for anybody listening, if you haven't gone there, I highly suggest it, because it's really powerful. It's really powerful, Prophet Carlotta. I just really want to thank you. It's really changed me in the last 12 weeks. I really mean it. It's like, I feel like God's taking a scrub brush and scrubbing me from the inside out, but in a good way. You know, it's like,
feels good.
It's really beautiful. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Char, because, you know, just have a wonderful night. And I appreciate that, because there are thousands of people that will hear this and they'll wonder, you know, is there anything in that for me? And does God really change people maybe? Or can I really get anything online? And, oh, yes, you can. The Holy Spirit knows no limits. And I just encourage you, give it a shot. Give it a try. Try a few classes and pray the prayers for yourself. That's what I keep telling people. Pray them for yourself and watch the Holy Spirit transform your life. Woo-hoo. Thank you, Father. Okay, let's take another caller. Let's see, area code 919. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Carlotta. This is Mary.
Mary.
Yes. I was listening to your program, and it has put such a relief off me, because at every church I have went through, I just felt like I was not wanted there. I physically felt it in my spirit that I was not wanted there. And it has given me an insight on how we're supposed to, it just gave me so much joy to hear that, you know, because I thought it was just me.
Well, it's not just you, and God actually uses the bumps along the way, you know, to grow us up and teach us to walk in the Spirit and everything, but he also uses this iron sharpening iron, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Yes, it do.
You know, you've inspired me to tell one thing. Is when I was in prophetic training school, ministry training school, they would change the instructions each week. You know, we'd be on prophetic teams, and we'd be ministering to people we never saw before in our lives, and it's, you know, great training and a big challenge and wonderful to be under supervision. But when they changed the instructions, and people had problems with that, they'd say, well, this week, you know, there'd be three people on the team. You know, you lead out, you follow up, you give the word of knowledge at the end, but then the next week it wouldn't be the same thing. It'd be something else. And people would get so upset because they want everything to be the same. You know, they want a routine. They want to know what's coming. And they'd say, well, that can't be God, because God did it this way last week. And I'd go, oh, yeah, that can be God. God can do it a different way every week from now on.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Excuse me. You the glory.
And so we've just got to learn that the Holy Spirit is the creator, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost created everything, and that God's pleasure is for us to just trust him no matter what he does.
Amen.
What do you need, Mary? Do you need healing, or?
I need healing.
You need healing?
Yes.
Is that from relationships or?
My leg, my feet.
Your feet?
Yes, my feet.
I can just barely hear you.
I said, yes, my feet.
Okay, we're going to claim that whatever the devil has stolen from you, he's going to have to pay it back many times over. But whatever God allows to be weak, he, you know, he shows himself strong through it. And beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, and I just declare that your feet are going to become one of your strongest areas, and that your whole body, because he's attacked your body, will be strong, 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 and that your understanding and ability to minister healing will be one of your strengths. And just, in other words, everything related to this attack will become a strength because God will never be indebted to you, he says, never be indebted to you, that he will always make things work out not only for your good but better than before and restore things better than before. And that's why his law, you know, was if you steal something, you got to restore it four times or seven times or depending on what it was. And the Lord says, command ye me. So in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth right now, we command these feet to rise up and walk and be healed.
Thank you,
Lord. I'm just hearing, Mary, let that be your confession. Don't confess all the symptoms, although it's, you don't have to deny the symptoms, but confess, make your confession that my feet will arise and walk and you know, go like hinds feet on high places. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
God,
I'm going to share with you too.
God be the glory. God be the glory. But I want to thank you again to be able to have listened to that to you tonight. It did me so much good.
I think it will a lot of people because the first thing the devil wants to do is to tell you you're alone, you're isolated, and you're the only one.
God be the glory. I appreciate it. I really do. I'm so glad I tuned in tonight. Thank you.
Bless you, bless you. Have a wonderful night and life. And I just come against that victim spirit that wants us all to feel like we're actually being victimized. It's not just the churches where it's at and the leadership or where they're at, you know, and it's good for us and God's using it all to, for iron to sharpen iron. The devil wants us to feel like a victim, feel like we're being persecuted. Of course, that is one of these main pitfalls of prophetic people. I can't believe I didn't emphasize it more at the beginning, is that we have a tendency to feel persecuted because of our gifting. You know, people don't appreciate us, and we get all droopy over that. And it's just not a glory to the Lord. So we've got to learn to glorify the Lord, not only in our words, but our attitudes. Amen. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Okay, how about another caller? Area code 310, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, what's your name, please?
Patricia.
Patricia, where are you from?
Los Angeles.
Oh, good.
And I was, I'm not a prophetic person, but I was interested in the topic. I was really calling for prayer, but I will share that I have had unsolicited, I guess, prophetic words from Sunday school teachers, and then someone in my prayer group knew someone, which were very negative.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 8 and I almost died and then recovered and was in Sunday school, my Sunday school teacher used to always say, you are going to burn in hell. You are going to hell.
My word.
Every time I got tired of it. And my mother would be in heaven crying, seeing me burn in hell. And then she told me my father would burn in hell and I stopped going to that
Sunday
school. And then I had someone else, I was going through a tough time, come. They said, we know someone who can pray and do. And they came and said, well, you have a satanic Bible in your house. I did not. And so I must say, not always good. And I knew that this was not from God.
Good.
So I listened, you know, when you were saying people have to be careful, and I think that those things, the church I'm in, the pastor will have no prophetic ministry whatsoever.
Because he's been burned too, or just doesn't
believe? Well, I don't know if he has, but he just, I don't think that he believes in it. I do. But he, I guess he feels he can't control who is doing it, who isn't doing it.
Well, there are ways
we had a prayer group which he disbanded for that reason. He thought that it might get out of hand.
Mm-hmm. I know. I grew up in a church that didn't allow much of anything. If it was supernatural, they didn't allow it, and I'm not kidding. But, boy, do you miss it because, you know, woe be to the person that's satisfied with church all their life that could go on if God never showed up.
Yeah. Yes. And I did go to a charismatic meeting once, and they had prayer, so I went in for prayer. And they said to me, you have a problem with marriage. I said, that's right. I just don't ever let it work out. But I want to. Maybe it's a wrong person. They said, and I'm Roman Catholic. They said, I said, no, I'm not called to that life. But yes, I want a deeper religious life. So they prayed and said, you made a pledge to God when you were 8 years old, and that's in the way. But they never said what it was. And when I asked my pastor, he said, well, all of this stuff is ridiculous. So I've always shied away from, just because that was my, you know, the spiritual authority over me said, avoid this.
Well, thank you for like three good examples of abuse of the gift, because that's not prophesying to resolve, to just say there is a problem. One, they didn't even go so far as to saying with clarity what it is. And maybe they didn't want to in public or something, but still they should have prayed to break the power of it. If there's a fleshly inner vow that's holding you back, they can still break the power of it. It's better if they minister to you in private, I would say, so that you can renounce the specific thing.
Well, it was in private. It was in private. And I said, well, could you give me more information? I have no idea. What. So...
I'm sorry.
When you ask for things, I thought, well, I would just, you know, share that. But it.
Well, lots of people are held back by fleshly inner vows. And what I would say, to me, the most outstanding one that I hear almost everybody that comes to me is some kind of vow that either I won't speak in public or I won't talk, tell, share, ask, be real anywhere. And as long as you have that, you're not as free to be you, to be God's voice, or anything, really, if you can't be real.
Yes.
Well, what can we pray for you, Patricia?
Well, gosh, I could think of things, but maybe the best is just to pray if God has some direction for me, or if he has a word for me.
Okay, I wanted to hear your permission, because after all you've been through, I certainly didn't want to add to it. You made an excellent point about us getting people's permission to minister to them, because people listen to this. Unsolicited advice is always construed as criticism, almost always, but also unsolicited prophetic words that are given when the person really isn't open to it can be construed as criticism or an attack, too.
Well, I am grateful to be able to call in and ask, so.
Okay, well, good, because I haven't found anybody God won't speak to yet. Patricia,
good.
Father says, I was there. I was there, and I was grieved, too, when people misused their gifting or misused my power or just had the wrong motivations in the first place that are not an expression of my heart and my will and way in your life, and would leave you with a burden rather than lifting it off. And the Lord says, so I'm building in you. As a result of these experiences, that they are not wasted, they're not lost, because it's not that you should just forget them, because the Lord says, I'm building in you a compassion for people who want freedom, who want healing, but have gotten an added burden instead. And the Lord says, I've put in you a motivation to hear me clearly. And you may think, well, that's mostly for other people. I may not get very far with that. But the Lord says, I'm putting in you the desire. I'm putting in you the motivation to hear me clearly and to know how to minister with my heart, with my compassion, to restore and to build up and to console. And the Lord says, there's some areas in your life that I do want to work on. There's some clarity that I want to bring, and there's some other things besides what you've mentioned tonight that you've been taught that is not of me. But the Lord says, because you're going to be one that will pursue me and say, Lord, give me clarity. I want to just know what's from the throne and not just know what's from man. Because you have that heart, I'm going to respond to that, And if you'll keep a notebook on, I'm going to be showing you place after place after place where you can align with me and with what I'm saying, and you will know my will, way, and timing, and you will know how to be my voice to others. Would you like that?
Yes, I would.
Okay, well, the Lord says, I'm the one putting that desire in your heart, not presumption on your part, and I'm going to provide ways for you to be taught and trained in how to be my voice. Okay?
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay, and this is from me now, Carlotta, that if you go to our nowfaith.tv Ministry Training School online and click schools and then click ministry schools, then there are videos there that will help you get more of the healing, freedom, and training that you want. But if you click prophetic schools, there's two semesters of audios and videos there that will help you in learning how to hear God's voice and to minister his voice more clearly.
Well, thank you. I will look that up as soon as this is over, so thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And for if everyone is interested in that, you can just look at the websites that are listed on our Blog Talk Radio introduction page, you know, the description there, and see that, crosswalklife.com. And nowfaith.tv, we make all these resources free to you. There's only a few things that cost anything, like our CDs or DVDs or one-on-one time with me. If you want 20 hours of my time, you will have to donate for that. But most everything on our website is free. And so we are about teaching and training you because we feel like our time on this earth is short. And we need to make it free so that no one will be able to say, I could not access training. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's see who's next. Area code 574.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air. What's your name, please?
My name is Karen, and God bless you. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good, and you?
Good. I'm doing fine. Doing fine. I just would like a prophetic word in what direction the Lord wants me to go in, and I can go from there.
Okay. The Lord says, Karen, I've put a fork in the road before you, but there are many, many, many aspects, many choices. It looks like a simple fork in the road, but there are many choices, many ramifications of it, much as the ripple effect from your choices. And the Lord says, I want you to know that it matters what you choose to do and say, that I've called you to be a kingdom kid, but not a kid. I've called you to be one that I can trust with spiritual power and authority, and there's some choices that are critical that you're going to be making just in the next few weeks. And as you make those choices, then your surrender to me will solidify in new ways. Your ability to trust me will really grow or really shrink. And you're going to have to choose in some ways between living in the temporal world and the eternal world, between the visible world and the invisible. And it's going to seem like you're stepping in beyond your ability. But the Lord says, be sure to discern which one is me, because when you step out, even on the invisible bridge, but it's my will, that's the safest place to be. And the only real risk in life is in disobeying me. So the Lord says, even though this fork in the road has many parts to it, when you come out on the other side and you're down the path, you're going to know all those decisions were very important, and it does matter what I choose to do and say. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much. God bless.
God bless you.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm hoping that all of you will notice what time it is when you get your word so that you can go back use the pause and play button, and you can write it out word for word because each word in it is important. I don't necessarily know the relevance of it. I just kind of get it like dictation, but you know. And when you write it out, you're going to know more and more and more because there's no way you can just like hear it and remember it and get it. All of us are like too self-conscious to remember everything. And but as you write each little word, each preposition and everything, you're going to see, oh, God said more to me than I thought. And also as you write it, it imprints it on your mind so that as events and situations change and circumstances happen and all, then you can hear this word in your spirit again, and it will help you make the choices that God would have you make. And it's absolutely amazing. Even the simplest prophetic words can have lots of direction in it, so be sure to write it out. Okay. Let's see. Area code. Come on. I'm waiting for the computer to... Okay, well, computer, I command you to release this number. It's like doing the circle thing over and over and over, you know, instead of releasing it. Let me try again. Okay, area code 678, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. It's Charity in Flowery Branch, Georgia.
Charity from Georgia. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Did you have something to share or want prayer or?
Well, I wanted to add to, you were talking about unsolicited prophetic words and just share something that happened to me. This has been back in 2005. But just how things that can appear, you know, to be godly on the outside, just how hurtful they can be if they're not done in order and submitting to authority and out of love. I was in a church, and I'm not going to name the name, but after the service, I was really struggling that day, just having a horrible day. I was separated from my spouse at the time, and I think we had actually attended church together that day, and she, on the way out of the church, came up behind me. I didn't know this lady. And she said, when he's more than enough for you, you'll have what you want. She didn't know a lot of my ungodly beliefs and inner vows that if I let God be God, he was going to take over my life and squash me. So to me, that was really scary. So it didn't prophesy a solution to me. It didn't prophesy what I needed to do. It just was that one statement, and that was it. So it caused a lot of hurt, caused me to turn and want to go away from the church. Probably even more so than, you know, the people on the corner that didn't know the Lord, something they would say. It stuck with me a lot more.
Mm-mm-mm. And so she didn't ask you if she could give you a word. She just came up and blurted it out?
She just came up and blurted it out. I think she had noticed me and my husband were talking, you know, back and forth during the sermon. And, you know, we were separated and there might have been something going on. And it was almost like I felt chastised. And I was like, okay, God, you're... You know, obviously I'm already feeling bad, and it was like just whooping a beat dog already.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a good experience, but now I know that wasn't the Lord, so that's okay
right now.
But back in 2005, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know, and we haven't, you know, talked about this before, but I can see how this could be an example of a person reading body language, observing something in the natural, thinking they've got a solution or exhortation. And yet, if the fruit of it is not good, you know, you have to wonder if God was in it at all.
I have to wonder about that now. It hung with me for years. It really
mm-hmm.
did.
Mm-hmm. Well, and sometimes we do need to hear things that we don't need to hear. But, you know, overall, I would say, again, that if a word is given from the heart of God, that even if it's correction, it may not. It doesn't have like a big sting of correction usually at first. It usually prophesies to the results, and you see how things are going to be better as you align with God. And, you know, it includes what you have to do to align with God. But, again, I'll say it's like the sandwich method that Jesus in the spirit of prophecy demonstrates in Revelation 2, 3, and 4, where he says, oh, you're doing great in all these, this, and this way. Just one thing I have against you. And so, to me, that's how God works.
I have a lot better understanding that now after going through Restoration Prayer Ministry with you.
No?
After going through that, it's much better now. And I highly recommend it to anybody who's listening right now. If you're even debating on doing this, you've seen it on the internet, just go ahead and do it. You won't regret it.
I just want people to be encouraged because a lot of people think they're stuck where they are and they can't really change that much, much less their circumstances change. And I believe God is still in the transforming business. He'll do it within days. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 is true. You know, if as much as we'll lay down the altar, he'll transform it, man. He will. Hallelujah. Want a word, Charity?
I'll take a word when I can get a word.
As soon as you started talking, I saw like a wagon wheel that's got these heavy wooden spokes in it, you know, and the big center to it. And I felt like the Lord was saying to me, saying, you know, she just sees like one spoke of the wheel right now. But I am working in Charity's life, and I let her have many, many experiences. And as I continue to redeem each one, there's going to be many spokes in that wheel. And while I'm the center, you know, the solid center in there, Christ in her, I am her strength and power and authority and security and everything. There are going to be many spokes or multifacets to your ministry, Charity, and it's going to take some time to be trained and mentored in all those areas and to, you know, just to become proficient at representing God's heart in all those areas. But it's a big future. It's a big future. And so don't despair. You may see only one spoke of that wheel right now, but don't let anybody despise your youth or despise a small beginning or accuse you of anything or say, you know, you can't get there from here or anything else. Just don't listen to it because I, the Lord God, say there's going to be many strong spokes in the wheel of your ministry. And because you're going to understand more and more and more and more thoroughly that it, Christ in you is your hope of glory and Christ in you is everything, that as you solidly get a hold of that, that I am everything and you've got everything, you're going to begin to say to yourself, in Christ, I have it all. I have it all already. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, I hope you'll write that out. And bless you, bless you, bless you.
Bless you, too.
Thank you. Hope to meet you in person one day.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let me know.
I will.
Have a good night.
You too.
Okay. Oh, my. The experiences we've had, I just knew when the last program on wounds from ministers had over twice the number of downloads, not of any show we've ever had, but of any we've had in weeks, I knew we better do something like this again. Area code 434, welcome to the program.
Hi, Prophet Carlotta. This is Nancy from Virginia.
Hi, Nancy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. I have a request for healing, and I might start crying. Healing for relationships. I have a lot of fears of... I've been... not received. Part of it's been myself. Part of it has been what you were speaking on this evening. I've been in process 30 years because I did not want to get in a ministry position and hurt anyone. And I would like restoration prayer, please.
You want prophetic prayer tonight?
Prophetic prayer and healing for past hurts that is causing me to fear to get into a relationship with the leadership.
Okay. The Lord says, I am the orchestrator of all things. That doesn't mean I cause people to sin against you, but it does mean I'm the redeemer of all things, and I will redeem everything. Now, what I need you to do, the Lord says, is to bring each one of those one by one, maybe one memory at a time. Don't be in a rush. Just climb into my lap and tell me all about, like, one memory at a time. Tell me what parts of it need to be healed. But then turn your eyes on my face. Look into my face and ask me what I'm going to tell you and show you to heal it that day. And say, Lord, help my unbelief if necessary, but help me to believe you that healing isn't like 10 years away, that you can heal it, you can tell me the lies that are in it, you can take the sting out of it, and you can heal me. And you want to heal me, and you will heal me. And so tonight I just want to impart to you that the healing is real. Just set aside an hour or so. Tell me all about, and do this over and over until you become that person that has the wisdom that I'm going to give you regarding each thing. If I've let you suffer it, Nancy, I am going to give you an overwhelming amount of revelation and wisdom concerning it. I'll take the pain out of it, and you will be able to minister in strength in that area to the point where you'll say, wow, you know, it's like a good thing that I went through this because now I can minister to so many, just so many. And it sounds like a hard word at this time, but the Lord said, just climb into my lap, tell me all about it, and then look into my eyes and ask me to show you or tell you, believing that I will heal it that day, okay?
You just reminded me of a prayer I prayed.
Pardon?
You reminded me of a prayer I prayed years ago. Yes, I asked the Lord to give me all that I could bear for all that I could share. I didn't realize what I was asking.
Well, I believe in his kindness, he is balancing that out. You know, he knew. He knew what the wise interpretation of that prayer would be, right?
Yeah. I was young and dumb.
Just write that out. Actually do it. Take time. Actually believe that he will show you and tell you things, even if he never has before. He's promised that he will. And then just write it out, whatever he gives you, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. I'm going to move on because we have a few more callers. And now I'd like to call on area code 216.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Joyce in Ohio.
Joyce in Ohio.
Yes, I just so appreciate your program, and I go through the archives. It's so encouraging. The only thing I can say is that I remember times when, I needed encouragement, and now just to have your site and to have the archives, it's awesome. It's so encouraging. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And guess what? I learned a whole lot of this the hard way.
I hear you.
Some of us are slow learners.
Yeah, I know. I know the feeling. I can relate.
But I have confidence in God because I know that even if you're a slow learner, he's right there. No, just right there.
Hallelujah.
Now, did you have something to share? You wanted to receive a word?
I just wanted prayer, but I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate what you do and how God works through you and how you encourage so many people. And even just listening to, you know, when the Lord is speaking words over other people, it just helps so much. It just helps so much to know the heart of God.
I know. I used to attend a church when I first came out of the wilderness 20 years ago. I attended a church where they prophesied to people every Friday night. And, you know, at first they'd prophesy to me because I was new, and then it got so they didn't so much anymore. But that anointing breaks the yoke for everybody in the room, not just the one that's getting the word.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I just feel the love of God. It's like, you know, many times in churches you're kind of beat up. You know, you beat up over the head. I just beat up. And you, when God is, like now, just listening, it's just so awesome.
Well, and I hope the face of the prophetic ministry is becoming more and more beautiful to people, because people, some people used to think, or maybe still do, of the prophetic ministry as a ministry that was just correction or just bad news or something like that, you know, the punishing side of God or something. And I'm hoping they're seeing that the purpose of prophetic ministry is to edify and console and encourage. And yes, you know, prophets do some correcting and redirecting and all that, but only if it's needed.
Yeah, well, for the most part, people need to know that the Lord loves them.
Yeah.
And that he sees them, and he sees their struggles, and he sees, you know, where they've been, and how he wants to turn that around. And yet, so often, that's not what you've seen, so, or at least it's not what I have seen so often. So
right.
I just really appreciate it, really appreciate it.
Well, and I want to say, too, because someone mentioned Restoration Prayer Ministry about 5 minutes ago, and I see in the chat room they put a link to it as well. When people come to me for Restoration Prayer Ministry, it's not to get beat up for 20 hours. It's
Amen.
Because they don't want to be the last ones to know. They're like, okay, if I've got some blind spots, I don't want to have to my enemies to tell me, you know.
Right,
I don't
right.
hear from friends I don't like. You know, I want to hear it from a friend, from God, and I want to be able to know how to go ahead and let God clean that up or forgive it or heal it or whatever, so that I don't have to be held back by blind spots forever. So when you can get to the point where your trust is fixed a little bit, and, you know, people can come to someone they trust and they show me a few more of my blind spots. Maybe not all of them, but show me a few more. It's a good thing.
Well, then you're, you know, God has, you know, he just builds you up to where you get to that place where there is that trust. But if you've been beat down so much, well, how can you trust? You know, you, it's like anything else. If you keep beating a dog, it's going to bite you, you know?
Okay, Joyce, I hear the Lord saying that I have been so blessed by the voracious appetite that you have for me. And as long as your passion is for me, you will never, never go, because there's no way go wrong. There's no way you can follow Jesus and go wrong. And the Lord says that you have no idea how you're being prepared. You don't know the full depth of it, the extent of it, but there are so many things that are coming in general, not just to you, but in general to the population, to the body of Christ, and to the planet, that you're the wise one. And encourage others. Encourage others with what I am showing you, the Lord says. The things that I'm imparting to you and revealing to you, be released to encourage others, because you don't have to be tall and finished to do that. And the Lord says there are so many people that really need to do what you're doing, really need to be seeking me with all their heart, because they're not ready. They're not ready for the trials and testing and tribulation that's coming. So I'm just giving you even more authority in the area of encouragement, not to be shy, not to, like, mother people, you know, and demand, but to encourage them to prepare. Prepare themselves, be trained, taught, and equipped, and be ready. Amen.
Amen. I receive that. Thank you so much. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
So much. And thank you. Thank you for listening to the Lord, and thank you for helping so many people, Carlotta. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
You too.
I'm grateful for the people that were there for me when I came out of 20 years in the wilderness and even had the courage to tell me, oh, I mean, they invested so much time into me, and they said things like, oh, you're going to be minister and ministering like I am one day. I'm like, oh, right, you know, I'm a serious part of the problem, but it's come true. Let's see if we can fit in one or two more. Okay, area code 404, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name, please?
Hi, this is Tiffany Hankerson.
Tiffany?
Yes.
Okay, where are you from?
Georgia.
Mm-hmm. I see that. Okay, did you have a request or something to share?
Yes, a prayer request and a word concerning a relationship and just I have a lot. I guess I have a lot of stuff that's going on concerning the moving, the business. The car stalled out yesterday, and I'm like, what in the world is going on?
Oh, dear. Well, maybe that's why I was seeing several blue streams. I'm like, okay, God, what is this? Just several blue streams, almost like ribbons or tiny rivers side by side. But there were different shades of blue and a little bit of purple, which would be, you know, different aspects of the mystery of the Holy Spirit and also your identity, who is royalty in Him. That, Tiffany, you're in a new family, and even though all these things seem to be happening at once, that you have a good father, and He's in control. And these are all different streams of the Holy Spirit flowing through your life at once. And so the Lord says, I'm just opening your eyes now to see it not in terms of the potential hazards of each problem, but to see it in terms of these are areas in your life where I'm going to be showing more and more of my power almost simultaneously. And so if you'll look at these as each one an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work in your life in mighty power and to convert different aspects of your life with His supernatural power and even convert your thinking more from natural possibilities to supernatural. And then when you see things happening like this and converging on you all at once, just look at me, the Lord says, and just say, show me your power, Lord. Show me your power. You there?
Yes.
Okay. Try it.
Show me your power, Lord.
Happen all at once, just say, show me your power.
Show me your power. Amen.
And please send us a testimony. I'm going to rush on to the next one because we're almost
thank you so much.
Out of time. But you're welcome. Please send us a testimony to CWT, that stands for Crosswalk Talk, at CWLINC.com. That stands for Crosswalk Talk at Crosswalk Life, Inc. CWT at CWLINC.com. Okay, area code 410. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Valerie from Maryland.
Hi, Valerie. What's up?
Hi. awesome program tonight. I was able to listen in when I put my son to bed tonight and have listened to the program. And it is just really, really good, just really good. I've just thought about just my own experiences that I've had with the prophetic, particularly basically with my former pastor. There was a whole bunch of us prophetic folk, and we loved to pray. So we'd get together and we'd pray and hear from the Lord, and we're just really hungry for God, and He really didn't know what to do with us.
Well, I hope it turned out well.
No, not exactly.
Well, it ain't.
But we just, you know, it was just awesome because we'd hear from God, and we would pray it, and we would see God do it in our midst, what we were praying. And we'd go to the big prophetic conferences, and we'd hear Chuck Pierce, you know, say the same thing that we've heard, or, you know, or we had gone through some warfare experiences, and it's like, wow, we've gone through that too. So we knew that we weren't losing our mind or anything because we were experiencing the same things that, you know, the well-known folks.
You stayed in touch with the pastor and shared what you were getting with him.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we shared it, but he didn't really know what to do with, you know, the things that...
You know, you can't be responsible for his understanding, but you can be responsible for keeping on with relationship, with communication, and encouraging him, even if the encouragement is kind of a delayed response. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I just see a light at the end of your tunnel.
Uh-huh.
Actually, more like a light in the doorway. And there was a lot more than that, but the doorway is within reach now, and there's a very bright light that almost fills it. And, you know, of course, you know the Lord has called you to be that light. But the Lord says, I've promised you many things, and just go ahead and get ready. It's almost like get dressed and get your pocketbook on your arm because the first light in the doorway will be arriving soon.
Wow. Wow.
Don't have a clue what that means, but...
When I pray, I keep seeing the door in heaven, and I keep seeing light when I pray. I keep seeing light streaming, and when I pray for other people, I keep seeing the door in heaven, and I keep seeing light streaming out of the door.
Well, this one's for you.
Okay.
All right. All right. Let me see if I can squeeze in one more person.
God bless you.
Okay, good night, Valerie.
Good night.
All right. Okay, so now the screen jumps up. Don't you love computers? Thank you, God, for computers. Bless my computer. Okay. Area code 727. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Jan.
Hi, Jan.
Hi. I really enjoyed the program. Just thinking about how the Holy Spirit's taken me through a lot of those situations for training.
Mm-hmm. Do you recognize some of the courses?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've been blessed to be in prophetic churches, but just various situations. And sometimes it was my own, let's say, lack of confidence, you know. But I didn't really get a lot of direct mentoring, but the Holy Spirit has taught me much.
Mm-hmm. He has. And when you started talking, I just began to see huge grapes, just, you know, like clumps of grapes and just huge ones. And, you know, you will see the fruit of the seeds that you've been sowing very soon. I know that sounds like a common word, but it's true. It's true. You will see the fruit. It will be large. It will be more than you think. And, you know, there'll be a great multiplication of it. And so you'll never outsow me, the Lord says. You know, there will be a harvest far bigger than you think. Okay?
Wow. Praise God. No, that's not a small thing. It's really right on time. Thank you so much. Wow.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Not a small thing. These harvests that are coming in are going to be super. I mean, God's just going to blow our socks off. I just see thousands of people meeting, you know, one place to hear the gospel. Whereas before, you know, maybe there were just a few, maybe they all went to the New Age thing instead of hearing the gospel, but that's about to all change. People are going to be running to God. It's going to be awesome. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Praise God. Thank you so much. All right.
Well, I just want to thank God for the privilege of being with you all and for all those that will download this. Please encourage your friends to download and... because anyone can hear this program from any time from now on until they take the internet away, okay? And you can even download it to a CD so that you'll have it forever. You can, you know, you can share with people who have or have not already had issues with other church members or ministers, and maybe help some avoid it, help others to healing in Jesus. And, you know, maybe they've only gotten hurt in church. They need to know there's healing, too. They need to know that we understand that sometimes they're problems. We take responsibility for them. And while it may not have been me that caused it, I'm willing to pray for you and to pray with you and to help you to get the healing, to give the resentment or the unforgiveness to God, and to get restored and be strong in that place. And where there are dead places, Jesus can bring his life. And whether there's just been darkness and something happened, he can bring his life. And that's why he died on the cross, to take all that shame or blame or guilt or hatred or whatever on himself, if you'll just let go of it, and to give you the love, joy, and peace, and the blessing instead. He wants to take every curse from himself and leave you with the blessing. So I encourage you, read the articles at crosswalklife.com. Read the articles and hear the audios and videos at nowfaith.tv and get healed. Don't stay where you are. Don't stay stuck. No, there's a bright light at the end of the tunnel in Jesus. He's everything you've ever wanted and everything you could ever need. Amen? Amen.
Sing it together. In the light.